He shows me another room. This room is also very large and I see about 25 people lying on tables. When I ask my friend what is happening to these people, he tells me that all the women, men and children are being examined. I also see how they put something up the nose of a woman who is lying on the table at the beginning of the room with a small device. Probably an implant. She does not scream and lies there very quietly. At each table, to the left of the couch, the small beings stand and hold the people's hands. There is also absolute silence in the room and I cannot sense any fear or panic from any of these people. When I asked my companion again what this is all about, he tells me that all these people have been selected and each of them has a very specific task. Each one is stored in their large computer. He adds that I have been chosen to go public and tell people. The time will come when I will report all this. He also thinks that I should expect some trouble because of this. When he has shown me all this, I have to go back with him to the small room where they took the sperm sample. He tells me to lie down on the table again. Then he touches my forehead again and says, "Forget it." He gives me a kind of amnesia. Now I can clearly feel that feeling of weightlessness again, and all of a sudden I'm back in my bed at home. I wake up. During this situation, everyone involved is very frightened because I literally fell into the bed. You can hear this wonderfully on the cassette that was playing during the regression. This last section is in the original wording. Dr. Ray. What time is it? Raina. 6:30. Dr. Ray. And what happens? Raina. I see my friend standing at the window and two of his companions, they leave again. Dr. Ray. How do you know you're awake? Raina. I woke up because I fell into bed, but I wasn't afraid. I feel fine now. Dr. A. And what happens then? It's 6:30, but what date is it? Raina. It's January 31st, 6:30 in the morning. Dr. A. Could it be that you now remember something that you completely forgot about back then? You just stopped thinking about it? Raina. No, I was dreaming and the dream woke me up, but it wasn't a dream, it was just my protection, but I've accepted it inside for a long time now. I had to laugh out loud. Dr. A. What moves you? Raina. How stupid we humans are, why we're so afraid? We don't need to be afraid, they just want to help us. At this point Dr. Alberts brought me back to the present and the session was over. During the hypnosis I went through all the highs and lows from heartfelt joy to endless sadness. Especially when I had to leave those children up there in the spaceship. I felt a deep affection for these little creatures, as if they were my own. Who knows, maybe they are actually a part of me. This hypnosis finally showed me where my childhood fears really came from and I realized that I really shouldn't have been afraid of them. The little creatures that visit and pick me up at night, as well as the children, had long been familiar to me, and I even called one of them my friend. But this was only the beginning of an adventurous journey of discovery into my own past, which was to be followed by something even more fascinating. My vision of the Third World War. This first hypnosis had a huge impact on me, and a short time later I was overcome by a very real and frightening vision of our future that deeply disturbed and moved me. I saw the entire banking system collapse, saw a complete economic collapse all over the world. There was endless chaos on Earth. People behaved badly, worse than we could imagine. I saw a war and unimaginable natural disasters. But one thing was a consolation for me, I was shown that there would be no global nuclear war, but that some major cities would still be destroyed. I experienced this vision so realistically, with so much compassion for the people, that I was not really able to speak for days afterwards. And I wish with all my heart that people would finally change their consciousness, their behavior towards others. Because it is entirely possible to avert what I saw in my vision. The events that Jan described in his book 3, The Third World War, and which largely coincide with my vision, do not have to happen. It is up to each individual what they make of their life. Everyone shapes their own destiny. And as Jan says, the fate of the Earth changes with people's behavior. We have an influence on it. Thoughts are energies, faster than light, and can do more than we can imagine. But it is up to us what we think and where we direct our thoughts. We reap what we have sown. And in our current world events we can see the fruits of our sowing of the past years, which makes it logically clear what our fruits of the future will look like if we continue to sow the same seeds. But if we take a different course in our thinking and actions, the result will also be different. So we should not carry on as before and wait for something to happen, but rather actively participate in life in a way that enriches it and uses the laws of nature sensibly, for the benefit of all. In order to bring out more information from my subconscious, I was ready for another hypnosis session. Second regressive hypnosis session, on May 27, 1995. This time I fell into the trance more quickly and more deeply, was looser and more relaxed, since I was familiar with it by now. Dr. Alberts counted from 10 to 1 in his calm voice and I very quickly found myself in a deep state of relaxation, again in narrative form. Raina. I am 8 years old when they come to get me again. I am lying in my bed at home and cannot sleep. I am very restless. I'm scared, terribly scared. They always hurt me, the little creatures. They come. No, not again, oh no. They take me with them and look at me with their big, dark eyes. I don't know where I am anymore. I'm no longer at home. I'm in a round room and I'm being examined. Ouch, they hurt me, but I can't see anything, I just feel a sting. One of these creatures says to me, Raina, I need something from you. It also tells me that I don't need to be afraid, it won't hurt. Now a second creature comes to me. It is bigger than the other grey ones, about 1.50 meters. It has something in its little hand that looks like a surgical knife or something similar. Ouch! It stabs me in the thigh, but strangely enough it doesn't hurt at all. He said so, but I'm so scared and I'm so tense. My little friend, who has been with me several times, told me that. He gives me an explanation as to why they did this. It was important for me, they needed a tissue sample to analyze. Now they turn me onto my other side. I feel a hand on my bottom. His cool hand runs along my spine, he feels every single vertebra. Now he touches the back of my head. Ouch, he's poking me again, this time on the back of my head. I can clearly feel a sting, but it doesn't hurt. Now he tells me to open my mouth and looks into my throat. I almost throw up. I feel them pushing something into my throat, a kind of tube. It hurts. He tells me that it has to be done. I don't want to do it anymore, they should stop. He tells me that I should be patient, it will soon be over. I don't need to worry, everything will be fine. Oh, 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 now I feel something, on the back of my head. I feel something strange in my head. I ask what it is. But this time he doesn't give me an answer. He just says that it has to be done. Next time they will remove it again. I ask him why he is doing this to me, but he just nods his head. Now I have to get up again. Now my little friend comes and leads me away. He tells me that he has been looking after me since I was born. I have made a kind of agreement with him that he will watch over me in this life and that I am part of this project because I agree. That is why they come to visit me at regular intervals. I don't understand this. I have parents, a father and a mother. I would like to ask him more questions, but he doesn't give me an answer. I have the feeling that they are taking me home again. No, they are not taking me home at all. I don't see anything. Strange, I don't know the place, but I have to play with other children. They are all about the same age as me. They are human children. Everything looks so strange in the room, I have to laugh out loud. A clown comes along. He has a big head and big eyes, he looks at all of us children very sternly and tells us that we should now play. We play with Legos and cars. He just watches us and observes how we behave. I even have the feeling that he is studying us, how we play and what emotions arise. Now we have to leave the room again. Each human child is led out separately by a small being holding their hand. Now I see big rooms, big, bright rooms, everything in the rooms feels very strange. I am not allowed to know what is in the rooms yet. He tells me that the time will come when I will find out everything, but that I am not ready for it yet. I am still far too young to understand all of this. I am in another room and lying on a table. I feel that they are connecting something to my body. I feel tubes all over my body. I feel electricity, it feels pleasant. I assume that they are cleaning my body of environmental toxins. There is something in my body. I feel everything flowing in it, from my fingers to my toes, everywhere. They tell me that I desperately need this. My whole body vibrates and I feel like a new person afterwards. I ask him why they are taking all the children and he tells me that we humans are not allowed to know what they are planning yet, as it is too early to give any information. But the time will come when everyone will know what they have to do. I ask him again. Why don't you tell me anything more specific about your plan? He then says that he cannot reveal everything to me yet. It would also be for my own safety. Now something strange is happening to me again. My whole body feels heavy and light at the same time. Oh, that sounds familiar. Now I can clearly feel a strong energy in my surroundings. I know this feeling, I have experienced this feeling several times. I can't see anything, but I feel that something is here. Here and now, but I am mentally blocked. I am not allowed to give any information about it yet. No, I am not allowed to say anything more today and here. I have no control over my body. Something is blocking my subconscious. I am no longer in the memory of the 8-year-old, but I am fully aware that I am here in Stuttgart in a hypnosis session. At the moment when I wanted to force an explanation as to why they are coming to us, this strong energy came and blocked my subconscious. I feel very good now, because I know that whoever or whatever it was is something very loving and good. I can even still clearly feel that it is present here in the room. I feel clearly and distinctly that something is standing behind me, but it does not show itself. I can only feel it with my hands. But it is not visible to those of us present here. No, it is not visible, you can only feel it. This means that I am still receiving information unconsciously. Information that I cannot interpret or recognize at the moment. But I know that in the foreseeable future my consciousness will be ready to communicate more. We stop here. For me, this second regression was another small piece of the mosaic in a large puzzle that gradually became clearer and clearer. Everything became more understandable and much of it was to be confirmed in the future. A lot of what was shown to me in the visions and dreams, a lot of it in the regressive hypnosis, now became reality. My little friend had told me that it was my job to go public with this topic and my experiences, and that is exactly what happened. Without my doing anything, I was given television appearances and public lectures. But I also knew about the consequences for my family and me, since the public, especially the mass media, are currently working very destructively against such information and are ridiculing such events. But I am convinced that a change in consciousness will take place there too at some point. More on the subject of mass media in the chapter of the same name further down. When we drove back towards Lake Constance on the evening of the hypnosis session, we stopped for a coffee at a motorway service station just outside Stuttgart. When we left the service station again, it was almost exactly 11 p.m. About 3 to 4 kilometers behind the service station, we suddenly saw three strange lights in the sky, although at first we assumed that these might just be laser beams from a disco. But they seemed to follow us for several kilometers. They always stayed the same distance from our car, but danced back and forth in a strange way. At some point they disappeared, but that didn't stop us from thinking about them for a while. Time seemed to fly by, because before we knew it, we were standing in front of our house. It was exactly midnight when we opened the front door and only then did we realize that this was actually impossible. We had always covered the distance in twice the time and I am anything but a slow driver. We felt a bit strange. Even at 250 km per hour this distance could not have been covered in this time, And on top of that, the bypass road, which had since been built, was not yet in place at that time, which would have increased the journey time by a few minutes. What had happened and, above all, how? Were we dealing with the so-called phenomenon of time shift here? Ernst Meckelberg had already reported on this phenomenon in his books, but in most cases in the opposite way, so-called missing time experiences. In such reports you can read about people who were traveling in a car and realized at home that they had taken several hours longer than usual, but could not remember stopping or taking any other kind of break during the journey. In many such cases, there were even other witnesses in the vehicle. In our case, however, it was evident that we arrived at our destination faster than is possible. We wondered whether this incident might have had something to do with the lights that had accompanied our journey. Had we perhaps been beamed up and then back down again shortly before our house? Scotty sends his regards. We joked and soon forgot about the event. In October 1995 we attended the UFO Congress in Dusseldorf, our first congress of this kind, where I had the opportunity to give a lecture to almost 500 people and to talk about me about my first experiences. I was very nervous inside, as it was my first lecture ever, but my inner calm soon returned. Above all, I was surprised at how calmly and composedly I was able to pass on my experiences, and at the same time I was happy to finally be able to let off steam. I realized that this was only the beginning, that much would follow, both pleasant and unpleasant. But I was prepared and hoped that I had achieved something that would stick in the memory of many. Although I am anything but a trained speaker, it seems to be my task to speak publicly about this topic. Perhaps also about other areas related to this topic, even controversial ones, in order to influence people's consciousness a little. In January 1996 I gave another lecture, this time in Zurich, which helped me a lot on my way. Because these positive thoughts and feelings that emanated from those present strengthened me in my work and showed me that I had chosen the right path by deciding to speak openly about my experiences. The response from people was wonderful, and my inner sadness gave way to a growing sense of optimism, and I became convinced that more and more people could accept the reality of these events. Our path led us to Zurich again in February 1996, where the UFO World Congress was taking place this time. But on the way there, Karen and I felt an inner restlessness and nervousness that we really couldn't explain. I gave another lecture, but this one was very different from all the others. The people radiated completely different energies, and Karen felt dizzy and sick during the lecture. For her, this was always a sign of enormous negativity. Thankfully, her health improved again the next day. We later learned from Jan that he had also been present at the Congress and had set up a book stand with a friend. His own books were sold there with great demand until, on the second day of the Congress, a German UFO lodge filed a complaint for selling racist books. This led to a visit from two police officers from Zurich. However, Jan was accompanied by an armed bodyguard, a friend of his who had once worked in the intelligence service and who thus identified himself to the officers, and thus the matter ended up in competent hands. These energies were therefore perceptible to several people at the Congress. But the Congress also had a very positive event in store for us. Shortly after our friends arrived, we met Mr. X, who not only gave us valuable information, which also confirmed our experiences, but soon turned out to be an important key person. Some of his information can be found further back in the book. So-called coincidence was at play once again. But of course it was clear to us that all of this had been done to find the path we had chosen for this life. Third hypnotic regression on February 17, 1996. This regression was also a tremendous experience for us, on the way to gathering new knowledge. We are again using narrative form to make the reporting more fluid. Dr. A. We start exactly where the memory is conscious. In the experience that you no longer remember, further and further into it. You may already have an idea of where you are. Where are you? Raina. I'm at home. This time I remember an experience when I was 6 years old. I'm lying in bed at home and sleeping. But no, I can't fall asleep. No, not again. I see this blue light again and try desperately to protect myself with my blanket by pulling it over my head. Although I am burning hot, I try to find shelter under the covers. I cannot even call my sister for help, who is also lying in the room, because I am unable to move. I have my eyes open and can see the blue light through my covers. I know exactly what is happening. I am terribly afraid again because I know that at any moment these little creatures will enter my room to pick me up. I know this because I have known them for a long time. Now they are coming. They come into my room like little ghosts, from nowhere, and stand around my bed. They are hardly taller than me, but have huge eyes. I know one of them. He seems familiar to me. Although they all look the same, I have a certain connection to the leader. There are three creatures around me. I hear this metallic voice. A strange voice in my head tells me that I don't need to be afraid, but they have to take me back. I don't want to and ask them to let me go, but I get no answer. Now it gets even hotter in the room and I can recognize my sister. She is fast asleep and doesn't notice anything at all about the whole thing. I feel a strong energy in my head area, shaking my head. Now the leader comes and touches my head. He touches my forehead with his small hand. It feels strange, different from human hands. The hand feels much colder. Now something strange starts again. I lose all control over my body. I have the feeling that I no longer have a body. You don't feel your body when this being touches you, but it's not an unpleasant feeling. Now I'm flying and flying and I feel very good. But I can't see anything. Although I have my eyes open, I only see fog. Now I see light, white light. I have to laugh out loud. It suddenly becomes bright. I see only light and lots of little creatures, and they all look at me. It's somehow strange. The room looks so different. The rooms look strange. Suddenly a creature comes running towards me. It is the leader, my friend. He comes to me and picks me up. He takes my hand and leads me out of the room. We walk on. He leads me through a long corridor that looks like a tunnel and only has curves. This corridor is rather dark. There is a strange light in the tunnel, but you can't see any lamps. I'm not really walking either. I feel like I'm floating. This little creature that is leading me by the hand tells me that it wants to show me something. I feel my body twitching again. It feels like a strong current again and suddenly a door opens. As if by magic, a door seems to open in the middle of the tunnel, in a place where you wouldn't expect one. It's not a normal door either. This door opens for no apparent reason and opens automatically from bottom to top. Now we both enter this room. Something seems to be blocking my subconscious. I have to laugh. Yes, who is that? I see a beautiful, tall being. It looks like a human, a man, only much more beautiful and is probably over 2 meters tall. He has dark, long hair and beautiful, piercing blue eyes. He looks a little different to us humans. He has a small mouth, slightly larger eyes and a narrower, more delicate face. I am not at all afraid of him. On the contrary, I feel very comfortable in his presence. My friend, the little gray one, is standing next to me and says that this is their commander, who watches over everything. That he is responsible for everything they do. I hear my little friend's voice clearly and distinctly in my head. Then I go over to the commander. He beams at me and looks down at me. He strokes my head with his hand and tells me that I am special. But I don't understand him. Since I am still so small, 6 years old, I don't understand what he means by that. He says to me, "Dear Aina, the time will come when you will find out who you are and what your task on Earth will be." He also tells me that they will come and get me often to train me, educate me and teach me the laws of the cosmos. He goes on to say that there are many people on Earth who will be called and trained. Because the time will soon come when we humans will experience a major upheaval. I don't understand everything he is telling me because I am still much too small. Then he explains. Reina, you have to look after your wife. But why? I am still so small, I am still a child. Why do I have to look after a woman? I don't understand. He thinks that I will understand, soon, in a few years. He thinks that I am strong and that I will experience many things that will make me stronger. He also says that I don't need to be afraid because they are looking after me. They are watching over me and protecting me. Now he tells me to go away again. Strange, I only now notice that this commander has spoken to me. But not in the way that the little greys communicate with me, by hearing their metallic sounding voice in my head. He was the only one on board this ship who spoke to me verbally in German. He also moved his mouth like we humans do. I also notice that this commander is wearing a suit, a tight-fitting red overall. I can also see something like a badge. I see a triangle pointing downwards. There is a dot at each end. This triangle is in a circle with a black bottom, background and white border. I also notice his hands straight away. He has quite large hands, but very delicate. He has five fingers, just like us humans. His overall appearance is just a little slimmer, more delicate and larger. He radiates an incredible love, unlike the small creatures, who appear rather cold and emotionless. My friend, the little one, leads me out of the room again. We are now in another room, where I have to sit on a chair and he connects these strange tubes again. I hear something humming. I hear a slight humming. I am amazed and laugh. Now I feel this energy flowing through my body again. I ask him why it has to happen again. He says that I needed it, that he had to cleanse me. He cleanses my body, I know this feeling. My whole body feels different. You feel something like electricity throughout your whole body. It is very pleasant and you feel fresh and rested afterwards. I must be hooked up to this machine for half an hour. Now another being comes in, the doctor. He is wearing a white coat and looks different from the little ones, but also different from the commander. So there are at least three different groups present. He is about 1.50 meters tall and a bit taller than me. He looks at me and gives me a kind of smile. He tells me that I am a good boy and that I am developing well, but that I must be careful. What he means is that I must be careful around people. But he also says that when I am older I will soon know which people I can trust and who I must be careful around. He also looks older to me than the little ones, older and more mature. It seems as if he is the doctor who carries out the examinations and the little ones are only responsible for picking up the people on Earth and bringing them back unharmed. He is probably the one who then treats the people. Now he takes the tubes off me again. I have to laugh out loud because there are red cones all over my body. You can see them clearly on my skin. There are marks all over my body, especially in the chest area. The doctor then says goodbye to me and leaves the room. Then my friend comes back to my side and leads me to a pool. He tells me to bathe in the pool. The water is strange. I don't know, it's somehow different, I don't understand it. I'm underwater and I can breathe. I get air, it can't be water. I can't really describe it. It's transparent, it feels like water. I splash around and I really enjoy it. I'm not the only one who bathes here. I see lots of children who bathe and splash around like me. But they aren't children from the neighborhood or friends of mine. I only know one boy who immediately catches my eye because he has such beautiful freckles on his face. I recognize him by that. But all the other children? I can't remember ever having seen them. The boy with the freckles seems to know me too. We just laugh. Enjoy life and splash around in the strange water. I don't know how long we've been in the water, now we're asked to leave the pool again. And the other children, who are all about my age, have to come out of the pool too. They're taking us out now. Each one of us has to go into a cabin to be dried off. Warm air is coming out of the cabin everywhere. I feel great now. I don't want to go home anymore. Then my friend comes back to the cabin. He asks me to come out. He says it's time to go home. But I don't want to yet, I feel so great right now.